quiet. I'll try not to keep you long. Well, first of all, thank you all for helping us be able to go on this trip, for making it possible. I know all of us really, really appreciated what you did to help us get to go. So we flew in and flew into the airport. And Daniel's process this time had changed, where before it was kind of, well, hope they don't check your luggage. He has been building a lot of personal relationships with the people at the airport. He would stop and talk to the people who were checking tickets, personal talk about his kids. And when we checked our luggage in, every box, every container was checked and went through with him and the lady as a team. And he said over and over to her in Spanish, you know, I'm not trying to get anything by you. I'm doing my best. So his old process has changed this time because of how often we come through, how often these teams come through. He needed to basically get away from just hoping they don't check, because they know he's there. They know that what he's doing. And it was really interesting. The lady was very kind. She was ready. He was talking to her. They were laughing. There was a problem. They were looking for a misdated information. It was just wrong on the paper. It was good. But it took a little longer. But the personal relationship that Daniel was building, not just in the airport, but throughout his network as friends, is growing and improving. I think it's a big difference there. So we flew in, and we had Mark Sankey gave us a chapel service every morning, a talk, and it was very good. I really appreciated his talks. The one I needed the most was probably Tuesday morning. I was pretty overwhelmed. I haven't been in nursing for a while, and it was a lot of the simple stuff that you would probably all know, and yet I was pretty nervous about dealing with a lot of people and catching things, because this is their one chance in at least a year, most likely several years, because he has several communities. When we would drive out to a community, we would drive past 30 or 40 probably on our way to get to one community, and this is their one chance. You think, one of the things I have down here is we have problems. Every problem that you have, no matter what it is, and I'm going to make a few exceptions here considering what we've dealt with this morning, but even still, all your problems are rich people problems here. These people, do you have food for your kids? Do you have the availability of having something treated? Your kid has a sickness. Can you go to the hospital? Can you go to the doctor? Transportation to get there. Their bodies are worn out because they don't have the equipment. We have rich people problems. And there's a lot of culture shock when you go to these places. There's a lot of damage to the bodies that they won't get seen. I had a young 22-year-old with a torn rotator cuff. And we told him, well, you need to take it easy. He said, well, I can't just not go to work. I have to go to work. And he was asking about maybe not moving it. And we just the idea that there's really not a lot we can do. We had several high blood pressures. There's no blood pressure medicine that we can give out. Tell them to go to a clinic. Most likely, they're not going to be able to afford that. If they walk to town, it'll save them a day's wage to be able to get a ride, because that's what it costs them to be able to get to town. And when they get there, they may get two pills, three pills of ibuprofen or Tylenol for a headache. If it's something more significant, it's going to cost them more than they can afford. A lot of them, I didn't see any fat Hondurans. I mean, period. Yancey had an accident on the way in. And he said, well, when I got out, she saw dollar signs. I said, well, you're Guatemalan. How'd she see dollar signs? He said, just from my size. I got out. I'm healthy. I'm larger than they are. If you eat good, they see dollar signs. That's it. That's how rich we are. Kids don't see a doctor until it's probably too late. The parents just... you're thinking, well, you know, a fever. How many times have we sat up through the night with a kid with fever? They don't have Tylenol if they go to the doctor, they're probably not going to get something appropriate for a child. It's just not available. It's not available to them because they're poor. Now, you can go to the doctor and get an antibiotic there. Or you can go, I'm sorry, you can go to the pharmacy and get an antibiotic there without a doctor's prescription. One of the other things I have down is Vanessa. Vanessa is the doctor that Daniel has gotten to come to the clinic. She's been there about 4 to 5 months, and she's expecting to say about a year. Vanessa came with an idea, a plan for her life. I talked to her in the car, and she hopefully will stay longer. She had a plan that she would be there a year. She would come to the United States. She would get her specialty, and then she would go and move on with her life. She said she came to the mission because she's a good person. She said, I came here because that's what a good person would do. She lives in Honduras, the other Hondurans, the Hondurans that the laws are actually made for, the laws that Daniel is fighting. That's the Honduras that she comes from. The city Hondurans have money. The city Hondurans are rich in comparison to the other Hondurans. And she was coming here as her good thing. And she said she was complaining to God after she had been there for a while, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? I'm a good person. I'm here doing the right thing. And God said, you're still doing it for you. It's still selfish. And she said, finally, God got her into a place where she was whatever your will is. And that's a big change because it's hard for them to give up a dream. You know, if they're rich, they don't want to give that up. A general practitioner is not respected in the way that a specialist is, and that's what he's looking for the clinic. The government is requiring him to have, if they want to deliver babies, they have to have an OBGYN. They also have to have a pediatrician for the babies. These are both specialties. They come into this clinic. This clinic is amazing. It's being built fast. Not by our standards, but by their standards. It's being built fast. There's money here. And they come in and they see a private hospital, not a private clinic. So the idea that he has money, he should be able to serve a richer class, and he should be able to make money on it. The idea that he's giving this away to these poor people, or nearly giving it away, he does require some payment, it doesn't work in their mind. So as you're praying and praying for whatever it is to come out, pray for him to be able to find a way. He said that if he would go back to just delivering babies, they would probably allow him to do that and have a general doctor, basically, to come in and take care of that. But he said then he would have to give up his dream of being able to serve people who have bad teeth, who have bad eyes, who have high blood pressure. He would be back down to turning those people away because he doesn't have it. I don't know where God's leading him. God told him one step at a time, one little thing at a time, but I'll take care of it. So whatever God's leading him into, it's for his growth. It's for the growth of the clinic. Just keep praying. I know the devil is fighting this because this is going to reach a lot of people. They serve 45,000 people in this area. 45,000. They're the only one. They deliver a lot of babies. They're the only one that do what they do. The mayor of the city tried to tell him that he was going to help him, and then went back and made a speech that he was going to give the people everything that Daniel was giving them. It was just not with Daniel's name, but I'm going to do, and he just repeated everything that Daniel's dream was to do. He tried. He failed. Without God in it, it's going to fail, but Daniel's drive, his dedication to this is amazing, but the devil doesn't want him to succeed. The devil wants to break him, and same with his family. So as you're praying for them, just remember that he's facing a lot. When we went out to talk to the people in the villages, the preparation for it was, I thought, was a lot of medical. And my first day I was with Martha, and Martha said, well, my feelings is I want to pray with everyone. She's my interpreter. She spoke Spanish very well. And she said, I want to pray with each one, not just the ones I feel like God's leading me to. She said, I want to pray with everyone. Thankfully, there was not as many there that day. I think we served over 200 that day, but it was a little slower. And we were kind of waiting, so there was no real rush, which was very good for me as I was learning what to do. But what she was able to do was pray and spend time, personal time, connecting with each one, showing them God's love. And then she would pray for them specifically. She would also pray that whatever we wasn't able to give them medicine for, God would heal. God would step in. And that made a big difference to me. That made a lot of things come together. We weren't there to give them medicine. We were there to show them God's love. So that in itself kind of changed my thoughts or my intents throughout the week. And she kind of set me on a different path. We tried our very best to give them what they needed. We gave out a lot of antibiotics. We gave out a lot of Tylenol, a lot of stuff for pain. But we were there to care for them. And throughout the week, I had great interpreters. But it occurred to me that maybe I was there almost as a distraction, because the interpreters were the ones who could pray one-on-one with them, hear them, connect with them, talk to them. And my come away from this was the prayer that's put in ahead of time and the lives that we touch are not necessarily, I mean, the medicine is huge to them. If they have 100 Tylenol, they're rich, right? If they have something to give their baby for a fever, that's huge. But to know that God loves them where they are and that we could touch them day by day, they would remember us through what they had in their cabinet. If you have any medicine in your cabinet, you're rich. You've got most of the problems that you have are just rich people problems.
I enjoyed going. It was a good opportunity to see how they lived, realize their problems. I didn't interact with the people. I ran most of the time back and forth and giving the nurses their medicine. And I would bring them toys to put in the bags, the gift bags, things like that. One time I found a bag of cards. It was the last day. There was not a lot in the gift bags. They're good gift bags, but they just needed a little more. I didn't realize that they filled the gift bags already, so I brought the cards in there in the middle of the day. I was like, do you want to put these in? They said, well, we got enough, so thank you, but we don't need these. So I handed some to Sister Rundell, a gift bag, and two little boys walked up and pointed at the bag. And I was like, okay, sure, whatever. Last day, shouldn't matter, whatever. And I handed them each a car.
Big bag of box cars.
Yeah,
while she had
like a gallon bag of box cars.
Box cars.
And earlier I was handing out stickers and stuff, just giving each one a sticker, whatever. Then I started to walk out the door to put the cars back. And then I was swarmed with a bunch of little boys wanting a car. I was like, okay, here's a car, here's a car. Like, one of the girls there was like, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. They just asked for a car. I was like, it should be fine, right? I mean, it's the last day. So I started passing cars, and I ran out, and I put the cars in the tote, shut the lid, like, no more. And then I went back in. Well, then Dr. Matlock needed some medicine, so I went back out to get some medicine and some more gift bags. And it was later. I forgot about the cars. And another boy asked me something. No idea what he asked me. He asked me something. And I said, no español. Don't know. And I kind of had to go because I was like, he's waiting on this medicine. So I started backing away. And he kind of just stared at me, like, had his hands kind of up to his chest, like, I was confused. I was like, sorry. And I kind of waved and walked away, and I kind of felt bad, but I didn't know what you wanted.
There's no way. We leave the gifts. There's a lot of gifts there. There's a lot of gifts from other. We leave them for the next round of people. And it's hard to know where to draw the line because everything you have is so valuable to them. You just don't know. One of the things that I think we should probably focus on maybe next time is sunglasses. If you come up with sunglasses through the year, cheap sunglasses. They don't have to be, you know, $20 sunglasses. The sun is so hot there. We see people with dry eyes. They work out in the sun. They walk in the sun. Everything is sunny hot, and it burns their eyes. If I could have given everyone a pair of sunglasses, it would have been highly appreciated. There's a few things like that I'm sure we all have come across, but what you have is valuable. What they need is unlimited. We just tried to connect. I know there's several little boys there that will remember that. We had, I can't remember, 400 and some that we saw. No, 660 some that we saw. 76, I think. 692 we saw. How many got saved? 117 got saved. But who we connected with, you know, those are the ones that started on a path. The ones that we touched and connected with, they will know where to go, you know, and who to talk to, who cares in their life. And I think we made a difference.
I want to thank you for paying for us to go down. It was pretty neat. One thing that I really was, it's impossible to get a picture of is the mountains. They go whoo way down there and whoo right up here. I mean, you can take a picture, it just looks like it's almost level, but it's not. It's not a bit level. Another thing that really stood out to me was the gratefulness of the people. Anytime they get close to you, they're patting you on the shoulder and smiling and saying, gracias, gracias. That they're thankful for anything that comes their way. It is really unreal. And there was no, you owe this to me attitude that we see so much of. One thing that just stood out to me so strongly, we had a girl there from Mexico, and for the life of me, I can't remember her name, but she was one lovely, lovely girl, and she really was in touch with the people there, and she's standing there at the door, and they had a canopy they set up. And underneath it were desks, and the children were in this area, and they were, I couldn't tell what they were saying because I don't understand Spanish. But she's standing there, and tears are in this gal's eyes, and she says, they're asking Jesus to come into their hearts, and there was a section of kids here and a section of kids here, and there's a gap in the middle. They had to go from one to the other. In other words, if you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart, you have to come over here. And that there was more on the side where they were praying than on the other side. And I know sometimes we think, well, does that really stick? Does that really stick? But see, I remember a little boy back in my grown-up days. His name was Ken White. And he was on the altar about every service. And these children are being taught that the way to find Jesus is to ask him and to turn your life over to him. And they may go back on it. They may not know Jesus for a long time afterward even. But That seed's been planted. And believe me, God's presence was so real. That girl was just standing there. She was just crying almost. And so God's presence was so close whenever she was praying. And I don't know what she was saying. But I know one thing. They were saying it, and they were following her with what the Lord had for her to say. And we had a devotion every morning, and Brother Sankey was the devotion, the one who gave us the devotion, and he talked to us about getting into God's space, getting out of our space and getting into God's space. And I like the little boy with the five loaves and two fishes. He was in his own space. But then whenever he handed this bread over and fishes over to Jesus, he moved into God's space and allowed God to use what he had. And it was so beautiful, though, to watch these children. They were repenting. And, you know, children are children. And you know, they'll step out of line. But they're teaching them repentance and coming back to God. And talking to God and asking him to help them. Now, I was supposed to time myself here. And I've timed myself, and my time isn't up. But I do appreciate every chance I've gotten to go there. Like I told him down there, it's like a little boy that had his dream come true. The Lord is good. Praise his name.
I too thank you for sending us. It's always such a blessing. This was my fourth time to go, and I have to say I enjoyed it as much as ever. I think that all of us could probably talk for at least half an hour. But anyway, we appreciate your prayers too. No, I personally felt those prayers. Before we left this time, for some reason, I was really nervous about going through customs. And I have been, I call it frisk, patted down a few times. And this time, yes, coming back, I was. And I think three of us ladies were. But it really wasn't bad. And so it was all right. And things going through customs really was really smooth. And you know, it can be a little intimidating, at least. Thankfully, we have Keith with us, and he helps us to know what to do, what to get out of your purse, and what to have ready and all that. And that really makes a lot less scary. Okay. I treated a few urinary tract infections. I had one gentleman with an infected cut, and a lot of stomach problems, a lot of stomach issues. We give out a lot of medicines for stomachs, Prilosec and things like that, Pepcid and Tums, lots of Tums. We always have a lot of Tums, thankfully, but we give out a lot of it too. The people there are happy people, and they're not complainers. One gentleman was that I treated was 94 years old, and you know, 94, you probably got a lot of problems, especially if you don't have a doctor to go to. But he just had on his paper a couple little minor things. And so I took care of those and gave him medicine for those. And I had the interpreter then ask him a few questions. And his hands were all gnarled. And I thought, well, he probably has a lot of pain. When we asked him about it, oh, yeah, he does. He has pain in his hands. But I think they're just used to living with a certain amount of things, so they don't even think anything of it. And I was thankful that we were able to treat him for other things. Anyway, when he left our table, I noticed he had a little bit of a limp, and I thought, 94, a limp. He probably could use one of our canes. So we went to give him a cane. He was already gone. He was too fast. I couldn't even find him. So I guess he didn't need my cane after all. One of the interesting things, on Sundays, we go to church Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening to one of their churches. And we had two vehicles that went to the church that I went to. Anyway, our drivers spoke Spanish, but they didn't speak English. We spoke English, but we didn't speak any Spanish. And so we ended up getting to that church without an interpreter. And I've never had that happen before. Anyway, it turned out good, and it was fine, and we enjoyed that service anyway. But I could understand that every speaker welcomed us and said thank you for being there. We try to give out gifts, and we call them gifts, but, you know, for the children, we do have some toys and things like that. Last year, in the fall trip, we ran out of gift bags and things to put in them. This year, we had a plenty, and a lot of that was thanks to you guys. But, you know, as gifts for the adults, it's not gifts like we think. It wasn't a fancy vase of flowers or something. It's a washcloth. It's a pot holder. It's something they will use in their life. And it's a gift from us in a way, but, you know, it's necessary things for them. Ken and I had stopped at Country Pines. I called Eloise and asked her about taking some paper. I had some pencils and Eversharps and things like that, but I wanted coloring books, but I only came up with a few of those. Well, those little tablets of paper with a little tiny picture on them was one of their favorite things. I got so many big smiles and thank yous for that. They don't even have tablet paper or anything to write notes on, I don't think. Anyway, paper is heavy, but I do think I want to try to take more of that kind of thing with us if we get to go back. Back to gifts, I gave a little boy a Frisbee, and he didn't even know it's not my time. He didn't even know what a Frisbee was. They don't know how to use Frisbees. I also wanted to say that sunglasses is something we need to take more of. And they ask, and I had forgot about this, they like balls. They play outside. And I don't know if there's a way, I thought I'd mention it here because some of you guys might have ideas. I don't know if there's a way that we can deflate balls and then inflate them. I know like basketballs and things like that, but that's something they really, really like. And I didn't think to take any. One year I got three little foam balls from Walmart, and I thought, well, you know, maybe they want this. They were thrilled to have those. So anyway, these people are very appreciative, and we appreciate you sending us.
Well, as always, it is a privilege and an honor to be able to go, and we thank you for all of your help in sending us. And this was my third time, and I did the same thing that I've done before. The last two times I helped with the pharmacy, and that's fairly easy to count out 20 Tylenol or whatever the doctors and providers have asked for. And it's always fun to go with my husband and to see him, you know, do what he does best. And it's just always, always a privilege to go and an honor. And it's always enjoyable. The Meltons are fantastic hosts and hostesses, and they just, it's neat to be able to see them and how, like Ben said, everybody knows Daniel. Wherever he goes, he can talk, and they know him, they trust him, they love him, and that's really neat to see as well. And they're very deserving of your prayers and support, and it's always a pleasure to be with them.
She didn't take her whole 5 minutes.
I figured he'd need some extra.
Anyway, I am thankful to again to the church and the people for their generosity and everything that was very much appreciated to help out. But also, I want to, before anything else, I want to thank God. I was praying for this trip because, you know, this is my fourth time, but the first couple times I had there was more than one doctor. So I think once was even three of us. There was Dr. Smith, Dr. Boardman, actually both Dr. Boardmans and myself. So sometimes we'd have four doctors. Well, these last two times, it's just me. But Daniel kind of puts that pressure on us. Legally, I have to have one doctor, so you really need to go. And then, you know, he can get you to do anything pretty much and put pressure on you. But I was praying before we left, and I said, you know, God, it's just me. I was feeling that weight, that responsibility, because I'm going to be the only MD. I'm kind of in charge. I have to watch over the medicines and all that. And God very quickly came back and said, no, it's not just you, because I'm going to go with you. And I felt that the whole time, but it wasn't just me. I mean, I think the whole team would agree. We felt God's presence and felt his help. So before anything else, I want to thank God for his help with that. And just quick highlights, I guess. First of all, you get to know each other better, even like people you go to church with. For example, had to find out, I sit on the other side of the church as Ben. I talk to him sometimes, but not a lot because we're just, you know, he sits over here, I'm back there. I found out Ben can really talk, and I did not know that before, which was great. We had a lot of great conversations. I thought, wow, I always thought Adelia was the one that talked in that family, but I found out Ben's just as much, right? But we had a lot of great conversations. I also found out you can't always trust everybody. So when we get to Daniel's house, I got to tell this story. We get to Daniel's house, and he changed his Wi-Fi password. Well, I need on his Wi-Fi to be able to text in and out. You get bars on your phone, it'll show you how much signal, but for some reason, it doesn't really work unless you're on that Wi-Fi. So he changed his Wi-Fi, and I'm trying to get on it or say, hey, what's this password? Does anybody know the password? So Keith, I should have been suspicious, but he automatically starts, okay, it's S-T-A. And I was, okay, wait a minute. I'm getting my, you know, settings and everything. And he spells out, stay off my Wi-Fi. I had that almost typed in before I realized it's just Keith. So I found out you can't always trust everybody anyway. But overall, it was a great trip. But we all have our own role. Like I said, mine's a little different. I don't see quite as many patients as the others because I have to be going from table to table and kind of managing the medications, et cetera, answering questions. They try to set me up with just two or three. They'll come in families of six or seven sometimes, and one provider will see all of them. They did that to me once. I had six people, but there's so many interruptions. I'd see one or two, and then I'd have to go to another table and put out another fire. And it was kind of that kind of thing. So my role is different, but everybody has their role. Savannah mentioned she was a runner, and that's invaluable. The way they have it set it up, we do these in schools, and we go to those rural communities. Now, we're a little different than the spring trip. The spring trip is bigger, so he'll rent a bus. But we're smaller, so he'll take us to the remote communities that he can't get a bus to. So they both have their roles. But those little schools, there's always two rooms. There's no door in between. You have to go outside the building and go to the next. So they would set pharmacy up in one room. Then on the other side of the wall, we would have all the providers set up. So, yeah, I was constantly, hey, Savannah, can you get me some ibuprofen or whatever? And she did a great job, and a lot of young people, they have their role. Mark Sankey's been mentioned. He was a translator but also did devotions. My wife and Ken and another lady did pharmacy. Everybody has their role, and it's great to see that kind of teamwork. But then you think, you know, what were we really there for? Well, of course, there's medicine. That's part of it. But Daniel just said a couple times, we're really here to love on these people. That's a direct quote. That's what he said. We're really here to love on these people because a lot of them don't have anybody to love on them or to care about them. And we're coming from miles away, going into these remote villages, etc. And that was part of it. My wife bought a bunch of stickers, little things like that to give out to the kids. And they loved them. Every kid that saw those stickers, they were leaving them with on their arms and be on their shirts and whatever. That was huge, something that cost us a few cents, you know. Anything like that they love because that's part of loving on them. But the main role, really, I kept thinking about the story in the Bible of the woman at the well. We all know that story well. John chapter 4, Jesus deals with the woman at the well. What were we giving these people? Just medicine, and they're going to be out of it quickly. If I give them 60 ibuprofen for headaches or back pain or whatever, they're going to be out of that medicine, even if they use it conservatively. They have so much muscle aches and pains and headaches, they'll probably be out of it in 2 or 3 months. I'm not giving them the living water. I'm kind of giving them that temporary, that's kind of in the well, so to speak. But Jesus is giving them the living water. So our role really is, with each time we go to a community, before they go see us, the Honduran pastors give those people a gospel message. And every one of them has to sit there and listen to the gospel. But that's the living water. So to me, I feel like my role, no, I'm not a preacher, and I can't speak Spanish very well, but I can help get the living water out to these people just by doing what I can do. And so at the whole team, I think we can kind of feel that way. You know, some sow and some water, but God gives the increase. And so my role in that is I feel like it's a blessing to be able – the medicine's very minor, really, compared to medicine here in the States. But the message of the gospel is the same, whether it's here or over there. And we played a big role in that. And I'm very thankful that we were able to do that. Huge blessing. You feel so much more blessed. And you look at the world different when you come back from a place like that. So to end this up, I'm going to try to say – I think after 4 times I can say it now. Dios le bendiga. That's, Keith can tell me if it's right. So basically, it's praise the Lord, I think. And that's the way they, God bless you. That's the way they end the speeches. So, okay, so Dios le bendiga.
All right, time's the counting. Everyone have your scripture. We're going to open to Exodus 14, verse 13. You think I'm joking, don't you? Got my notes right here. Brother Mark spoke in our devotionals, our Sunday service, and it was mentioned a couple different times, and I was waiting for Ben to get into it, and he didn't. But the God space, and in Exodus 14, 13 and 14, Moses tells the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today." And 14 goes on and says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." I sent that to Crystal. I didn't know, how do you apply that? What is it? I said, man, that's so good. Stand still and see the Lord. See the Lord work. Work for you, work through you, work in spite of you. And we talked about that in our team devotions on Wednesday night, and that was my thought was, sometimes we're here for one thing, and Dr. Matlock talked about seeing one boy and how that boy made an influence on him or an impact on him, and he said, "I'm going to try to pray for that young man every time I think of him." And I think there were some of us that were there to see that person to affect us, to change us, and there was others that were there to help that little person, that lady that needed a touch, a hug, whatever the gift or the medicine was. And so it's interesting to me how each of us have our part to play. The important people here are the doctors and the nurses, Dr. Matlock and Diane and Ben. Without them, the rest of us are useless and unnecessary. But they play a huge part in meeting these people's needs. And, you know, it's one thing to have a greeter at the door when you come into church, say hi and smile at you. But when we have a pastor like Brother Ziegler, it coming from the top and loving on us and caring for us, it's important and it feels good. And when our nurses and our doctors love on the people like they do, it makes a difference in those people. And Wiseball, our people, was shining in Honduras. My job was, I was a driver and a bouncer. And my favorite part was the food. And Jennifer walked out. I was going to see if I could bring the baby up here because I wanted to hold the baby while I was talking about Honduras. But that's my other favorite part. And then my other favorite part is my passengers in my car. I like to have fun with them and goof around and just enjoy being together in a long, slow, bumpy car ride. And one of my favorite passengers, I promised her I wouldn't call her Mildred, so I won't. I'll call her Millie. She's my encourager, maybe my enabler, and she's always the one saying, it's all right, we can make it through that hole. We can make it through the river. We can make it up that hill. When the rest of the people are saying, are you sure? Are we going to be okay? She's back there saying yes. And so that was good to have an encourager along the way. I don't know. Most of the trip, it was really rough. It was good that me and Ben and Dr. Matlock, Ken, got all this time up here to talk, because most of this trip, we couldn't get a word in edgewise between Savannah and Jelaine and Diana. They just talked and talked and talked. The worst part of the trip was probably the heat and the humidity at night when you're trying to go to bed. You get out of the shower and you dry off and you're not sure if you're drying off the water or the sweat. So you get back in your room and you try to go to bed and you're sticky and it's rough.
That's because you used
the heated water. I'm a missionary, but I'm a reformed missionary. I go for the hot water when I can. It's not very hot, but it's better than that spring water that they run straight out of a hose, basically. The first night, I took a shower in the cold water, and I don't know how long the shower was. It wasn't very long, but when I was drying off, I was still going. That's no fun. Some of the details, Ben already mentioned those. We arrived in San Pedro Sula's airport Saturday afternoon after about an hour or hour and a half going through immigrations. We got through and were able to claim our luggage and get out. There was a nice young lady helping Daniel go through the medicines. And she would be looking. I'm taking a pastor's 5 minutes, sorry. Can't figure out how to save my stopwatch. She was going through things and, oh, that's interesting, what's that for? And so me and Daniel would read the labels and tell her what it was for, and, oh, that's good, that'll be really useful. And there was trinkets and toys, and I found on Amazon a packet. It had a toothbrush, a toothpaste, and a comb all in one little plastic bag already sealed up. I took down 1,000 of those. And so we were giving those out, and they saw those, and, oh, that's a great idea. So Daniel opened one of the bags, and he was giving them to the people in there, and she saw some other things, and so Daniel gave her one of those, and she saw some hair ties, and she's like, oh, those are neat. She laid them aside, so I reached over, opened it up, took a couple out, and stuck them in her pocket. They're really not supposed to take things like that because they're bribes or whatever, and there's cameras watching, so the bribes have to be under the table. But she was a big help, and very understanding of the goal of the work of the ministry, and she was a big help to us. We got through and got out to San Luis very late, as usual. Sunday we had a good service there, and then got to go out and visit a couple of local churches. And unfortunately, one of the groups ended up without a translator. We didn't realize that till we got back to the mission property that night and had Yancey's delicious pizza. If you get to go on one of these trips, that Sunday night pizza is the highlight for some of us. Yancey makes a wonderful pizza. Monday through Thursday, we went out to 4 different villages: Guaruma, Yamala, Limoncillo, and San Jose de Pino. They're all smaller villages, or harder to get to villages. And Guaruma is a place that we've been to before. It's a very strong Catholic village, and they are very protective of their space. A few years ago when we went there, as soon as they realized we were coming, the priest called a mass, and they started ringing the church bell and calling all the people. So all the people were getting up and leaving the clinic to go over because the priest was saying they had to go to church. And so when Daniel went out to talk to them about coming this year, he said, look, I'm not trying to steal your Catholic people. We're trying to love on them and treat them and help them. And so don't do that to us. Let us help your people with medicine. And so they agreed, and they even opened their church bathrooms to our team. And so we got to go over there. And there was actually a couple of people and a couple of children that got saved in that village. So we don't know what God has planned for that area. You never know what will happen from that. But in Guaruma, there's a Catholic village with a couple of solidly founded Christian people there now. And we hope that the Lord will help them there. Ben mentioned we saw 692 people and 117 got saved. That's from the information that Daniel sent out a few days ago. Unfortunately, we had to come out on Friday instead of on Saturday, so we lost the day. But that was just because of the ticket prices were so high to fly home on Saturday that Daniel needed to make the budget go a little further, and he found cheaper tickets on Friday. So Thursday was a short day. We went out to a little village, and we're there for a couple of hours. And again, I'm in the door seating people, and I'm getting everybody, all the providers, a patient. And I turned around to the first one. I had to say, nope, there's no space. Stay right here and wait. And the number on their triage paper was 55. So we had 9 or 10 providers, and the first one that had to stop was 55. So that tells you what Dr. Matlock was saying about the families. There was mom and a bunch of kids at every single table that morning. It's not always like that, but that little village, they already have a church going there. And so the work is going, and that's what we wanted to do, was to help the church grow in that area. We had to cross a pretty good river. We had to come down a pretty good mountain in that area, and that was exciting, especially when four-wheel drive low isn't working in your vehicle. My vehicle that I got to drive this year had some problems, and a couple of times we had to do some different things to make it. But we survived. I don't know what Daniel's going to do with that vehicle. I don't know what the repair bill's going to be, what was wrong with it. I'm thinking it was probably the fuel filter or something like that, and then there's a problem with the four-wheel drive low. But we survived, we made it, and the Lord helped us. It was a privilege to go, as usual. I love getting to go back to Honduras on another trip. It's almost Guatemala. It's very close. But the Lord helped us, and I'm thankful for that. Thank you, church family, for your kindness and for your help and support for us to go on this trip.